again from the beginning, close to the beginning of Perek Shi, from Pesach Kuflin Ches. So that's to Omer Mimavin and Merachuzo, the second paragraph. Like we said before in the introduction to this section, Olam Anichim, we established Shechavaya, Sheyidiyas Atzmoy, this experience of understanding yourself. The process of building yourself requires an understanding of yourself first. Okay? So it's called the chavaya. It's not just, you know, it's this that experience of truly getting connected to what you are is a depth of understanding. There's an experience there. It's like you have one time, you have this, you know, this aha moment, the eureka moment. I get myself, and that's it. You never think about yourself again. You know, trying to understand what's going on inside. And rather, this is something which a person will rethink on a regular basis. So what's making me tick? What's going on? Okay. There ain't nothing out there, no section of Torah, no portion of Torah, which there are issues of people misunderstanding things, which comes anywhere near the problems we have when it comes to the Sugya of Hilchos Deis, which is B'idiyas HaMidos of Kviyas Shureya, understanding the different midos which are expected to use, and trying to find the proper amount. We're very clear measurements. We're given a specific measurement of how much you need to do of X. So you might grapple with what exactly a kazayas is, but we know there's a set size called a kazayas. However, how much do I need to use of each one of the meters? Each person has a subjective, personalized measurement. And what's the proper amount for me based on my all other elements? So I need to, you know, each one flavors the other. So depending on what your the basic flavor of your roast is, that's how much spices you put on. So the shear of the measurement of how much you need of each meter depends on the personal kavaya of the person. Ula, that being said, halacha says there are some rules. We know kseo achron banova. Person is supposed to, as Rambam says, extend themselves all the way to the end when it comes to anivus. Person should stay away from gaiva totally. Mimutza b'shar midos. Other means we try and find a balance in the middle.
By anova, we said he should extend himself all the way to the end, or he should not.
He should. Person should stay away from a gaiva totally. So shvar ruach anivus is something which a person has to have. You have to go to the other extreme, the away from a guy. You have to go to the stream of anivus.
Can I ask you a question on this, or do you want to keep going?
Let's finish the sentence.
Okay.
Misnag bin abenin is chacham. And now to the say the shem zehiris. A person, Rambam says, a person follows the middle path. That's the right thing, with the exception of anivus. However, a person goes a little more to one side, the positive side, right? Because he wants to be careful about something. That's chassidus. That's going beyond the letter of the law. So we're given certain clauses. Okay. That's one more paragraph. That's one more sentence. Or two more sentences. Well, Shurim Levad, not only is the amount of each one difficult to calculate, Alamidas Atzim Kashal Likoy, to understand how you're supposed to be Noyeg is difficult itself. For example, I smile at somebody else when I see him. So what am I expressing? Am I expressing an element of care for you, or I want you to like me, so therefore I can get something out of you. Or I want you to like you because I like people liking me. But that itself is really, the goal isn't chesed, the goal is myself.
Is that called chanifa?
That's some element of chanifa. Toiv lev, my mirma. Is the goal, is it because I'm a toiv lev, or because I want you to fool you into this idea that I'm a nice guy. You know, it's important you should know that I am not a nice guy. People think I'm a nice guy. I'm around with them, right?
Okay. I guess
that was somewhat of a joke. Yes.
So I have a few thoughts on this.
Please.
Which doesn't happen very often. There's my Nevis. Which I'm pointing
out. Especially this time of
night. Yes. I remember in yeshiva though being told like there's a certain amount of gaiva that's needed. I mean, somebody needs the gaiva to be like, I want to be the best bachur. I want to be. That's like, so I understand, but I'm saying like, we've been doing this for a while. I know we had a break, but I don't seem to recall. Maybe I missed it. In case I'm sorry. Any discussion of like where we find that here?
No, he discussed that before.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
No.
Sorry. That would be something else. But it just seems like it seems very black and white. And he's saying like, you know, you have to look at yourself. You have to do this. You have to do that. But if, with every case I see here, it's like I smile at somebody. Well, there's a Mishnah that says you have to smile at people. I mean, it's a halacha that you have to do it. So does it really matter if like you want the person to like you or you don't care? I mean, just you're told I have to smile at people. The Mishnah is very explicit. You see somebody, be nice, have a happy face. You know, so I feel like it's missing that context when he's saying you're smiling at somebody. Well, I hear that. I hear, you know, I have a Mishnah shaver from the office. Like, where's he coming in? I don't mean to say it so flippantly, but so I want to.
I'm reacting to different questions. Let's divide the questions. So simply by a Nevis, you know, it's a fair question. What is the right balance for a Nevis? Because the Rebbe himself writes in Chevet Beis on the section called a Nova.
So we're not up to that. So there's no way I can be helped.
Right. So we have a little time to get there. You know? A very long white beard by that point in time. So he talks about the section on Anova. He says that Anova is a very, very challenging thing. Because a person, to be able to be motivated and to accomplish, he has to believe in himself, which is generated by gaiva.
Right.
At the same time, gaiva is horrible. So what do we do? So he says he would recommend for a bachur not to work on a Nevis, because he needs to feel good about, you know, be proud of himself, etc. But that being said, you need a balance. So he says, I've said this in the Shmuz, right? You remember Shmuz? I've said this in Shmuz? I'm sure you do. So when I start saying it, you remember. So he says there are three things which come basic on a regular basis, which really generate a tremendous amount of Nevis in a person. Number one is davening. A person who davens honestly is a statement of recognition that everything comes from my creator. It's very hard to be Balgaiva after that, but everything that I have, including my intelligence and everything that my strength and my wealth and everything that I have, I'm asking for my creator to recognize that I have the ability to do it myself. So exactly what am I being Balgaiva with? Right? That's number one. Number two, he says, learning with the Charusa. He says, he points out, you learn the Charusa, so you're having an argument, so you have to get into a good fight. You go back and forth. After you back and forth a few times, you realize the other guy is right. So what do you say? I hear. Right? Say Pemole. You were right and I was wrong. No, I can't do that. That's what learning the Charusa is supposed to accomplish. That there's times where you will be forced to eat your words. That's a very healthy thing. Be forced to eat your words once in a while.
I had that happen on Sunday.
I'm sorry.
With Rebbe.
Yeah, I know. I said I'm sorry.
Look, most people can't do that though.
What?
Most people can't do that.
I understand. That's what you got to work on. That's very hard. Yeah. Actually, Rizzo Salanter, in a letter in Or Yisrael, he writes that Limud Lishma means the following: that you get into a, when you learn, you get into a major fight. You're right. No, I'm right. And you start bringing proofs. So the more you're bringing proofs and asking questions, the more you're trying to clarify the points. Because if we don't have that strength of conviction, you're saying, okay, I'm sorry, if you're right, and then give in, you're not really going to clarify the issue. The more you stand by your position, the more you're going to clarify the issue. Then you finally realize, after all of that argument, that he's right. You say, ah, Baruch Hashem, thank you for giving me Megalami the Emes. Now I know really is correct, and I understand Torah, and I move on. That's Torah Lishma. Because right? My goal wasn't me, the goal was the Torah. Now, Baruch Hashem, I know what the Torah is. What's the difference? Who generated it for me? You or me? Right? Most people agree to half of that sentence. As long as I generate it, it's okay. Right? And the third thing he says is Shema Shemit HaChachamim. Shema Shemit HaChachamim, you know, is like, I mean, we just had the Mark Rubin, the audition with Brachis. Shema HaChachamim is, I mean, you get involved with Garland up close. When you get involved with Garland up close, what happens is that you'll see many things which are quite extraordinary. Some things make no sense to you. So the person who stands from the vantage point that I know better, say, well, you know, he's Gadol, you know, because Haraya, I saw him up close, and he didn't, you know, do this homer. He didn't understand the situation the way I did. The Neva says that maybe he got it right, you got it wrong. Right? I have this once where there was a booker here in the yeshiva his thought process of learning was not well trained, but he's very, very convinced of his position. No person present being referred to him, and he would, you know, argue to the nth degree, and he was like, it's just come out of nowhere sometimes, like, you know, when a person's in the sugya, you can bring rise one way, the other way. If the guy says, you know, I'm arguing that the shot is chai potter, he says, well, that's true, you know, he says, well, that the issue isn't chai potter, the issue is asur mutter, like, that's not the sugya you're talking about. But, well, prove it to me, you know, I can't, you know. It showed me bad, you know. And I one time said to him that, you know, well, he doesn't mean, how do I know that I'm, you know, how do you know you're right? Maybe I'm right. That's what he said. You know. That was a strong expression of Anivas. So I said, listen, I can't prove it. We're discussing what's a better fruit, apples or oranges, and the guy comes and says, I think that meat is a better fruit. You know, I can't prove it to you. You know, just like the conversation is not working. But I just want to tell you, there's once in my life somebody asked Huttner about Gedolim. He says, you know, Lahavdil, there's a religion which they believe that their leader is infallible. Do we believe Gedolim are infallible? They said, no, we don't believe. Morris says, Rava said I made a mistake. There's places where Gedolim said they made mistakes. He says, aha! He says, one second. He says, imagine you're sitting in a physics class, and the class has been taught by Einstein. And he says something, and you said, you know, he's wrong. He doesn't understand physics. That's a possibility. Einstein wasn't infallible either. But the odds are that the problem was not with Einstein. The odds are the problem is with you. If you think otherwise, you're a fool. That's what Huttner said in his very nice, inimitable way. I think he might use the word idiot, but something like that. But you know, if you think that you're the one who coughed him on the mistake, like, that's possible. You know, but it's one in a million, right? So that's what Shemesh 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 Chama means. So that many times when a person is convinced that I, you know, the famous line about the Mark Twain's line about when I went away to college and I came back after 4 years and my father was so much smarter. Now you're here. You know, I saw myself where I had one mice, which I've mentioned in the shmos. stats. Two scenarios. I think it was 22, maybe 23. It was a mice of the Bachur Yeshiva. It was involved in X, and we felt it was very, very inappropriate. We as the Bachur felt it was very inappropriate that such a Bachur should be in the Yeshiva. We didn't want it. And the person's family had been very beneficial to the Yeshiva financially, you know, supportive, etc. And they did not kick the guy out. And a group of Bachur went to the Rosh Hashivas to complain and to advocate that the Bachur should be asked to leave. So it was totally inappropriate for being a Bachur being a Yeshiva. And the Yeshiva said, nay. And the Yeshiva kind of said, no, it's not going to happen. And the guy was in. Okay. Fast forward 10 years. And there's a Bachur who was involved in something that was very inappropriate. I said the same story. And his father had been very, very, you know, supportive of the Yeshiva and beneficial of the Yeshiva. I remember sitting with the Yeshiva Reb Chaim working out a way that we could keep the Bachur in the Yeshiva. Because it's appropriate to keep him. Father did really extend himself to the Yeshiva. We all make our first attempt to try at least find a way we can keep the Bachur in the Yeshiva until the appropriate time when he has to leave. We kick him out in the middle of, you know, the middle of Teves. No, she was going to take him. The whole told listen. So we took him out of the dorm. We put him in somebody's house. He had a curfew. He had to log in. He had to make commitments. He couldn't go to the dorm. Different things, etc. Fine. We made arrangements. But I remember sitting with Shiva, and I'm having this deja vu over here. Like, you know, I've been here before. And 10 years ago, I was saying, like, you know, out, 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 out. And I was saying, in. I got that much smarter, you know, over 10 years. Maybe the Shivas were right, and I was wrong, you know. Like, it's possible. And that happened over my period of years. I think each time I learned my lesson, right? And that one, they were right, and I was wrong. But this time, I'm right, you know. Then there's something else. I get a little bit older, and realize that was, they're also right. So Neva says that maybe they get it better than me. Maybe they see a picture better than I do. And I'm right to, you know, to ask, and etc., to clarify. But I understand, not coming from a position of a Nevis, that there's people who know things better than me. So that's the third area which he suggests to work on. Such a balance, he suggests. In the sense of, it will create in a person a belief in himself that he can accomplish. The Chofetz Chaim himself, they once asked Rav Chanan, did the Chofetz Chaim know who he was? And Rav Chanan answered, so I heard from the Chofetz Chaim multiple times that he said, I recognize for the whole generation. He knew who he was. He knew that he was the person represented Klal Yisrael. And he had a Christ with Gans Klal Yisrael. At the same time, Chofetz Chaim was an honor. A tremendous honor. He said, I don't deserve any recognition for that. Like, so what? I have so much more I should be doing, could be doing. So, big spritz. So, that was his balance of manevas was, I know who I am, I know what I can accomplish, and that all it means is responsibility. It doesn't mean I deserve any recognition. So, and anything, the Baruch Hashem has more expectations for me. It's like, you know, whoop-de-doo-da, you know. So you had a balance of the two. So that's what he means. The nevus is an extreme. So now when somebody steps on my covet, like, what covet? Right. You know, this person will learn to move on and say, like, you know, it wasn't about me. It was about my responsibilities. The person doesn't like it. Okay, so he doesn't like it. Why am I getting upset? That's that point. Yards are smiling. You're right.
Thank you. It's the whole Nevis thing right there.
That his point wasn't not to smile. His point is that our goal is, but our goal is to smile for the right reasons. And I need to look deep inside of myself, why am I smiling? So when I said, listen, you know, that I'm truly excited to see people, and I want to express that, that's a beautiful thing. So then I'm doing, I'm giving across the message that they're getting is the true message which is true. So then I'm not fooling them at the same time that I'm smiling at them. But really, you know, I check myself, you know, they say, so Yaakov, no. Rav Grudzinski worked on for 5 years. People have become the Mazer Panyam. So they said during the whole tikkubah that they were in the ghetto. Right? So when the Nazis, you know, actually killed him, he was always smiling. But the worst thing was that he was smiling at people. Because he truly felt that he wanted to feel with their situation, and he was happy to see them. And that was the message he wanted to give across. That was a true message. But he worked to internalize that his internal feelings should match that smile. Then you're a person where, you know, I don't know, maybe you've never had that experience. I've had this experience. There's certain people that I find to be nudniks. They walk over to me and I say, I smile at them and I say, thank you, so nice to see you, etc. In my mind, I'm saying, nudnik, you know, go away, you know, I'm not so excited to see you. Right? So,
that explains a lot.
What?
Explains a lot.
So it's something you have to work on. That, you know, and then you hear the stories of Gedolim. So where do you see the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is in my patience level. So I can be I'll be patient and patient and patient, but inside, you know, there's this pressure building up, and the guy keeps pushing the button enough times, I will respond stronger than I wanted to. If I truly excited to see him, no matter how much of a nothing he is, I can sit with him for hours if I have to. Then you have stories. Hilly Spiro told me a story that, you know, we want to talk about. I find Rishul Kamenetsky to be the most fascinating person in the world. The man's and his times are just over and above and beyond anything which is you can understand. And he's always relaxed, laid back, smiling. So Hilly had a mice. There's a guy who was living in Baltimore, I think. It was a real nudnik. And it was like, kept chaperoning. It was a woman, actually, kept chaperoning him about the things. And, you know, he sort of got upset with her one time. He says, you know, she says to Rabbi Kamenetsky, you know, was always nice to me. He says, which Rabbi Kamenetsky? He says, Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky from Philadelphia. So I call him every day with my questions. So next time he was by Shmuel, he says, I have to, and he said, she would give me a chance to ask a question. He asked him, he says, how do you deal with it? He says, so he explains, he says, you didn't deal with her one time, but she calls me every day. And every day I'm, you know, I respond to her, you know, because, you know, that's her need. He was internalized this idea that I'm happy to give you what your need is if I can give that to you. So, and I'll have to figure out how to deal with the other demands. So, okay, but I'm happy to do it. So then I said, I mean, maybe have things I happen to do, but I can't always do whatever I want to be happy about. But then that's not because I'm frustrated with you. But so that's our issue with smiling, is to make the smile real. So we want to smile, and I try and smile most of the time. Right? You know, how are you today? Do you really want to know the answer? Right? So you got to be ready for that answer. If you ask that question and you really want to ask the question, you better really be ready for the answer. I tell you how my mice went with the checkout lady in McGruder's. I told my mice with her, right?
I had the same story.
With her?
Yeah. What was the story?
So there's, you know, the Magruder's, they had the checkout equipment over there. So he was always saying, aloha, are you? The woman says to me, not so good. So not so good means she wants to have a conversation. So she says, what's wrong? She says, my husband just passed away. Like 3 days before. She's back in work around. She says, that must be so hard. How long are you married? And there's this whole people, you know, tough luck. But this woman needs to head to talk. So I had this whole conversation with her, you know. You know, what am I supposed to do? You know, that's, she needs it. So I did it. My kids tease me that I know all the, you know, I know all of the tellers in the bank by name, and I know all the pharmacists by name, and I know all the, you know, the checkout people and the shalom. But, you know, how else do you talk to somebody? Hello, how are you? You know, but I happen to enjoy seeing people. It's not, you know, most of the time. You know, but if it wouldn't be that, I really don't enjoy seeing people. But I've trained myself to be smiley. It's a madrega, but it's not where you want to be. And the truth.